But we're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the first, the last. Come on, somebody, take a moment and give him what he deserves. Hallelujah. Come on, shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Come on, give him praise all over this building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we delight in your presence and glory in your spirit. We're so grateful that you allow us the privilege of being in the kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for our brothers and our sisters to our right and to our left. The favor of God that you have already given unto them. We thank you for the anointing of God that rests in this place. We thank you for your spirit that moves in this house. We pray, dear God, now that even as we've ministered unto you in worship, that you would now give your servant the power and the authority to declare your word. Speak a word, God, that will change lives, that will cause men and women to say, what must I do to be saved? Speak a word, God, that will elevate them and take them from one dimension to the next. And we'll always give you glory. We'll always give you honor. We'll always give you praise. We take none of it for ourselves, but we lay it all at the Master's feet. It is in the matchless, the mighty, the miraculous name of Jesus the Christ we pray and we give praise. Come on, place those hands together one more time and give him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you just to stand for a moment only for the word of the Lord. I'm going to read the word of the Lord. I didn't bring any of my Bibles. No, I have an iPad. Pastor has made me get an iPad, and so I've actually grown up. I used to believe that Apple was, I won't say what I believed Apple was, but I've joined the Apple team, so I'm going to ask you to turn with me very quickly to Exodus 17. I'm going to read verses 8 through verses 16. The word of the Lord to you, and then I'm going to ask you to be seated. I've got something I need to share with you. I am on assignment today. Amen. No, I don't know if you really understand it. I actually thought I was here by invitation. I really did. I thought I was here by invitation. I thought the pastor had asked me to come, and he was inviting me to come and share the word of the Lord with you. Until God began to deal with me and I understood that I was here not by his invitation, but really by God's command and God's assignment. There is an assignment that I have that I've got to deliver today, and I'm going to deliver it, and then we're going to do what we're called, what we were invited to do. The word of the Lord found in this passage of scripture in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. Would you read with me as I read it? As a matter of fact, you don't have to read it out loud, but just follow me as I read it. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone. I feel God in this place. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Excuse me. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar there and called the name Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. I want to just touch on that verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him and sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. I want to talk to you very briefly today, very, very briefly. But it is a word from the Lord. I declare now it's a word from the Lord. From the topic, from this topic, a strategy for victory. Sit down. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. A strategy for victory. Stay right there, sir. Stay right there. Stay right there. Right where you are. A strategy for victory. Can I walk and talk today? This is different for me. This is really different for me. I actually, let me talk to you really, because what I really did was I started preparing a sermon. And the Lord would not allow me to prepare a sermon. And I couldn't understand why God wouldn't have let me prepare a sermon, because he had a word that he wanted to share. The strategy for victory that the Lord wants to give is this. It's when the pastor's hands are raised.
All right.
Stay with me.
Come on,
when the pastor's hands are raised,
yes.
There is a strategy that God has ordained, has set up, has structured, that demands for those hands to be raised.
Yes.
But something happens when those hands are raised that cannot happen when they're not.
Right.
Stay with me. Please stay with me. God began to speak to me about you. Here's what he said. This word was going to be a challenge for you. And here's why it was going to be a challenge for you. Because you don't want that attention as a man, as a pastor. Here's why it's also going to be a challenge for you. And it's going to be a challenge for many of you. Because you have been exposed to pastors who have misused their position. And as a result of that, you have been turned off to the concept of lifting his hands. And so he has pulled back from even talking about it. But God has ordained me to come today to stand in this place to tell them first, they've got to lift your hands and you've got to allow them to raise your hands. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. It was a play. And at this play, at the end of the play, the director came down. And when the director came down, I saw in the director's hands a walkie-talkie. And as I'm sitting there watching this walkie-talkie, all of a sudden it dawned on me that while we were standing there enjoying what was happening on the stage, behind the scenes, there was something else going on orchestrating what was happening that we were enjoying. So we were standing there excited about what we saw. But behind the scenes, there's this walkie-talkie and this lady, this person who was doing something, who was making some things happen that we could not see.
Yes.
Stay with me. It is the same context that happens in the text. While people are looking in the valley and experiencing what's happening in the valley, there is another warfare going on that people are not seeing. They don't understand it. It makes no sense to them. It's not logical. But what they see right now is victory in the valley.
Yes.
Then they see a little defeat. But then they see victory. But then they see a little defeat. But then they see victory. But in the meantime, in the back, in the hill,
all right.
At the hilltop, there's something else that's occurring.
Yes.
Something else that's happening. Something else that's going on that's causing that to happen down in the valley. Are y'all halfway understanding what I'm saying? Are you following me? So the text now, let me deal with this. The text shows us am I messing up because I'm here? The text shows us that God had declared for Israel to leave Egypt. And as they leave, they're going from Egypt into the promised land. God has pulled them out of Egypt Egypt has always represented the world and sin.
Yes.
And God has always called his people out of the world of sin into a promised land we call heaven.
Yes.
He's now directed Moses to lead them out. Moses stands as the pastor of Israel. Are y'all halfway understanding me? He stands as the pastor of Israel, and as he's represented as the pastor of Israel, his responsibility is to direct them from Egypt to the promised land. In the process of his directing, here comes Amalek. Amalek, my brothers and sisters, has a habit of picking on the weak, those that are falling behind, those that are messed up, those that can't keep up. Amalek comes and attacks from the backside and works its way to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Does that sound familiar to anybody else other than me? Because that is exactly what your enemy has been doing. Satan, the very enemy of your soul, has come to seek, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And what he does is he always attacks the weak. Always see those individuals around you who are weak, who are not strong in the Lord, who are not steady in God, and they start to fall off. And the enemy comes and he snatches another one. And he comes and he snatches another one. He's seeking to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And here's what God does. God gives, at the middle of this war, Moses a strategy. Are y'all still with me? Here's the strategy. Watch the strategy. God says, Moses, I want you to go up on the hill and Joshua will go down and fight. Watch the difference. Moses, you go up on the hill. Joshua, you go down and fight. Stay with me. Moses, you go on the hill. Joshua, you go down and fight. Watch what happens. There is an immediate separation between what Joshua is supposed to do and what Moses is supposed to do. I'm looking at faces. I want to make sure y'all are following me. They are not to do the same thing. If the job is to get done, they cannot be doing the same thing. So he takes Moses and he says, Moses, go up there. Joshua, you go down there. Now watch this. Joshua is down in the valley doing warfare, fighting, making some stuff happen. Moses is up on the hill. And all he's got to do is one thing. Wait. As long as he's doing this, they're winning. As soon as this starts to do this, they're losing. As long as his hands are lifted, they're victorious. As soon as his hands come down, they start to lose. Wait. What's happening? First of all, the very concept of the separation is a problem among our church. We want to see him doing, her doing, what we're doing. And God has separated the assignment. And if they don't do what they're assigned to do, or if they have to do what you're assigned to do, it's going to hinder what God wants to do for you. Are y'all still with me? So, Pastor, I'm saying this to you. Stop moving these. Stop breaking down. Stop setting up. Stop it. No longer. The season for that is over. There's a warfare that's going on that's impacting the people, and you've got to be here. Nothing else will do except you being here. Which means that still has to be taken care of. which means that somebody out there has got to make sure that this is done so that he can and she can continue to do this. Am I making sense to you? And so the challenge, and I'm off my notes. I declare I'm so far off my notes, I can't even begin to tell you. I wanted to deal with this per my notes. Do y'all want me to go back and deal with it per my notes? Let me be intellectual for a moment. You need to understand that no matter what you're dealing with, the devil is not going to win. God has set you up to be victorious. Y'all have missed an opportunity to give God praise. God has set you up to be victorious. You are destined for victory. God has established and has orchestrated your victory. Now, follow the plan. Here's the plan. Y'all ready for the plan? First, the plan is one, you recognize the value of their position. Moses couldn't be in the valley. He had to be where? Say it again. Moses couldn't be in the valley. He had to be where? Here's why. Because Moses stood as a representative of God to the people. And as a representative of the people to God. Y'all didn't get it. He stood as a representative of God to the people and a representative of the people to God. So when God saw him, God saw the people. So he had to be on the mountaintop. Now here's the deal. Here's the deal. There are three reasons. Because of his position, he stands as a covering for the people. He covers them. He stands over them like a protective blanket, as a watchman, as a buffer. He's the one who stands between them and impending danger. He's the representative of the people before God and before God, before the people. He stands between them and being destroyed. There were so many times when Moses prayed and God himself stopped destroying the people. So here's the deal. Your pastors, those two individuals right there, they stand as a protective covering over this house. Not only do they stand as a protective covering, but they stand as a corrector of the people. I'm going to take that one real slow. He communicates the directives and the directions of God to bring you into line with the purposes of God for your life. God speaks to them to give them instructions and insight into the will of God and the way of God. God told Moses how the fight was going to happen. He didn't tell Joshua. Let me repeat myself so that you get it. God told Moses how the fight was going to happen. He did not tell Joshua. So Joshua could not get upset that he has to go down and fight while Moses stands up on the hill.
Come on, preacher.
I missed a whole lot of amens there. So God speaks to him. And God says, here's the assignment for this house. You can't get upset if he's not involved in the assignment for the house. He's got his own assignment. Am I making sense to you? Let me go further. Let me go further. But he also stands not just as a comfort, not just as a corrector, but also as a comfort for the people of God. He speaks to God, but God also speaks to him. There have been times, I guarantee you, that you've come into the sanctuary of the Lord and God put a word in your pastor's mouth that made you walk out of here with your shoulders squared back, your head a little bit higher, just as a comfort. God speaks to him to give you comfort. So it's not just a corrector, but it is also as a comfort. I'm almost finished. I'm almost finished. I'm almost finished. I'm almost finished. It is not just the recognition of his position, but it was also, and here's the key piece that y'all got to get. You have to get this. It was the vulnerability of his person. Moses was anointed for what he did. Moses was appointed for what he did. Moses was structured. He was created for it. He was set aside for it. He was ordained for it. And he was cultivated for it. The stuff that he went through, Pastor, was designed to put him in the position that he was in. Y'all not hearing me? The stuff that you have gone through, the things that God has taken you guys through, the things that the Lord has allowed you to go through, has already constructed you and cultivated you for the assignment that you're in. But that's not where you get excited. Because watch this. Even though Moses was anointed, appointed, he was structured for it, he faced the reality that all of us have got to face. And that was that he was human. He's human. As bad as Moses was, with the S on his chest, he's my leader. Guess what? He's human. He's the anointed of God. Guess what? He's human. And in his humanity, watch what happens. What happens is Moses gets tired. Church, you're missing it. Moses gets tired. He doesn't just get tired. He gets weary. Watch this. He gets physically tired. Can't do it. I'm here assigned to lift my hands, but I can't do it. I'm here assigned to hold them up, but I can't do it. I'm holding them up, but it's too much. I come Sunday after Sunday, but it's starting to get too much. I stand here, I lead worship week after week after week, but I'm tired. I come here and I preach to the same folks week after week after week after week, but I'm tired. He doesn't just get physically tired, he gets mentally tired. Here it is. He's got to hold on to the people who are hurting. They're struggling. If I don't hold my hands up, they're going to die. If I don't keep my hands in the air, they're going to fall apart. If I don't keep my... Here's the deal. Here's the deal. There's the weight. There's the weight. The mantle of pastoring. The weight of the pastorate is on their lives so heavily, that what happens is they feel like if I don't do it, what's going to happen to the people? They're up at night while you sleep because you got problems in your home. They're worn out, physically wearied, tired. But not just that, spiritually. God, I can't carry them and me too. I got to live holy for myself. There's stuff going on in my house I got to pray about. And now I got to pray about everybody else and hold them up as well. Y'all are not following me today. And the weight causes the hands go down. I love Aaron and I love her. Here's why I love them. Watch this. At no point in the text do you ever see Moses saying, I need help.
Right. That's right.
At no point, sis, does Moses ever say, hey, y'all, see my hands going down? At no point does he say, this is too much for me. But Aaron and her look at him and they see something. They said, he needs our help. He needs us to stand beside him. He needs us to work with him. He needs us to help him do it. Watch, wait. Stay with me. Because logically speaking, Pastor, they should take the stick from him. You go relax. We got the stick. That can't happen. Some things are left in his hands and his hands alone. There is an anointing on their lives that you cannot touch. There is an assignment of God to them that you can't mess with. But you can come alongside and find out, what can I do to help you out? How can I make the load just a little bit lighter? Now, you think that this is all about them. In the words of my kids, wrong old Keebler. This is not about them. Because the reality is, when their hands are coming down, people in the valley are dying. Israel had some loved ones in the valley. They had some family members in the valley. They had some friends in the valley. They had some cousins in the valley. They had Pookie and them down there in the valley. They had Uncle Joe down there in the valley. So the reality is, his hands being up was not about him as much as it was about them in the valley. Y'all missed that altogether. If them in the valley are going to be saved, we've got to make sure his hands are raised. Y'all didn't get it. If the ones that are in the valley are going to be protected, we've got to make sure. We've got to make sure that the hands stay up. And Aaron and her looked at it. See, wait a minute. Hold it. Okay, let's do this. You sit right here and we'll hold your hands up. We won't touch your anointing. We won't touch the assignment of God that you have, but we'll hold your hands up. We won't touch the grace of God on your life, but we'll hold your hands up. We'll keep your hands in the air, because as long as we keep your hands in the air, we've got victory. As long as we keep your hands up, there is power that's coming down. Stay with me. Stay with me. Only three times in Scripture does the Lord require hands up. Only three things. When we bring a sacrifice to him, hands are raised. When we petition him in prayer, hands are raised. And when we worship before our God, hands are raised. So as long as he is, say it again, sacrificing unto the Lord, bringing petitions before God, and worshiping God, and his hands are raised, you're going to see victory in your lives. Everything that you've been asking God for, everything that you've been expecting God to do for you, here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Make sure his hands are raised. The question, and I'm finished, Pastor. I'm telling you, I'm so far off my notes. I wish I could have done it by my notes, but I can't do it today. The question that we've got to ask, the question that I want to ask you, that I want you to think about just for a few moments, is this. What do I have to do to make sure those hands are raised? I'm looking at some faces, and I want y'all to look back at me. Please look back at me, because I want to make sure that you're getting this. If I don't make sure that you're getting this, I will have missed God. What do I have to do to make sure that those hands are raised? I'm going to give you three things, and I'm going to my seat. You ready? Are y'all ready? You got notes? You writing it down? First thing. Thing number one. Walk with God without pretense. And there was silence in heaven for the space of 24 hours. Walk with God without pretense. What the world do you mean, Pastor Kelly? Make sure that your Monday life resembles your Sunday life? Do you know what's heavy on a pastor's heart? Is when he's got to worry all week long about how you live it. I used to ask the church when I was pastoring, I would come up, they'll tell you now, I'd walk to them immediately. And the first question I asked is, how you living? How you living? And watch this. If they told me anything other than holy, I'd go back and say, how you living? Because my quest was to find out whether or not you were living holy. Do you know how much struggle it is for a pastor to have to be concerned about whether or not you're living for God? About whether or not whether you're living for God from Sunday to Sunday, whether you're living holy enough to even make it to Sunday. Some of you don't even make it to Sunday because you're not living nothing before God. And the question is for us, can I walk with God without pretense? Can I just live before Him so that nobody else, pastor doesn't have to worry? Because when I don't, heavy hands. But when I live before God, raised hands. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
When I walk before Him in holiness, when I live before Him in holiness, there's nothing that excites a pastor more than to know that the membership has finally, somebody say, got it.
Got it.
When you get it, you're preaching here every single week. Holiness is right. Live before God. When you finally get it, when it finally registers, it causes their hands to go up.
Amen.
Live before God. Walk before God without pretense. Can I give you another one? Number two. I'm almost finished, y'all. I promise you I am. Work for God without parade. Pastor Walker, you know the struggle it is when you got to prod and prompt and work and come on, let's do it, and we can do it. Come on, church, let's go, church. You get exhausted. The hands automatically begin to come down when you've got to almost beat folk over the head to work for God. But when you finally get it, and here's what I mean by get it, when you realize how good God has been to you, the mercies that God has shown you in that He's brought you into the kingdom, when you finally understand the grace of God on your life, and you're not waiting for fanfare. We're so glad that she did that. We're so glad. No, I don't care about that. I'm so connected to what God has done for me. I work for the kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
When we finally get that, and we work for God without parade. No fanfare. I ain't worried about fanfare. In fact, you know what? Y'all don't even have to recognize me at all. I'm going to come in and I'm going to play. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, all right.
Yes, sir. I'm a CRM. I'm going to be on my post. Pastor, you don't have to mention my name. Glory to God, Elder. We spend so much time recognizing everybody. We don't have time to deal with the Word of God. But when we finally get to the place where we work for God without parade, got it? What's the first one? Walk with God without pretense. What's the second one? Now you know who I am. So you know how I've got to end this. Here's the final thing. When you worship God without provocation, when nobody has to stand up, when you don't need a worship team to stand up back here and say, come on, saints, let's praise the Lord. When you don't need pastor to have to wear himself out singing glory to God for you to worship God. When you get to the place where you walk through those doors, when you come into the house of God with a worship in your mouth, when you finally recognize God's goodness to you and his mercy on your life, when you finally get to the place where you realize how good God has been, the doors that he's opened, the needs that he's supplied, the blessings of the Lord on your life, and you have to get to the place where they have to say, wait, baby, calm down. That's where he has to get you to be. Where he's got you at the place where you, because he is a worshiper, because she is a worshiper. When you start to worship God, when you start to magnify God, you don't understand. Automatically the hands go up. Automatically the hands go up. When you start to praise God, it triggers something inside of them that makes them want to praise God. So when you come in the house of the Lord and it's now an entertainment center, they're standing up here entertaining you. You're looking back saying you didn't do it enough, boy. Give me some more. Before you come in here and say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make up boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. When you come in here as a true worshiper, when you come in here, when you bring your fire with their fire, can I just do this? I'm an old man, okay? Y'all don't know nothing about this. You don't. You really don't. I know you don't. There's a couple of people got little hair like me, but not most of you. When I was coming up, we used to have house parties. You guys don't know nothing about no house parties. We had house parties, okay? And the house parties, we would go in and we'd have a little something with us. We'd have our little own brown bag. Y'all don't know nothing about the brown bag. I don't want you to know anything about a brown bag. You don't know anything about a brown bag. And the question would be, how was the party? And the reality is, no matter how bad the party was, we had a good time because we brought our party right along with us. All I'm trying to tell you is when you come through those doors, don't you worry about anybody else. You don't worry about your neighbor to your right, to your left. You don't worry about who's in front of you, who's behind you. Touch somebody, tell them, bring your party with you. Oh, you didn't hear it. Touch somebody, tell them, bring your party with you. Bring it with you. Come in with the Holy Spirit inside of you already. Come in with the worship on your mouth. Come in with praise on your lips. Come in ready to magnify the Lord. When you do it, when you do those three things, I'm closing. When you do those three things, you will cause the hands to be raised. And when the hands are raised, victory is won. It's a strategy for victory. It is a strategy for victory. Not their victory, but yours. Lift their hands, find victory in your lives. Would you stand to your feet, everybody, all over this building? Come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's give God a praise offering all over this place. Come on. Can I ask you a question before we do it again? I don't want this. I don't want this spotted over the room. Is there anybody in this room that God has not done something for? I want to see the hand of somebody whom God has not done something for. If God has not done something for you, I want to see your hand because I want to pray with you. But if there's anybody in the room whom God has done something for, I want you to take about 30 seconds. Just think about, consider what God has done and give him a corresponding praise relative to what he has done. So based upon what he has done for you, give him a praise that he deserves. Okay? Come on and give him a praise that he deserves. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Wonderful Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We delight in you. We glory in you. We extol you. We magnify you. We rejoice in you. We bless your name. None is like unto you. You are our God. Hallelujah. Yes. 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 You know what? I used to be ashamed of inviting people to praise God vociferously until I realized how often we go to events and all of a sudden we lose our minds. Some of the brothers go to sporting events, football games, basketball games. I'll even tell you about me. I sit in front of a basketball game. My wife will tell you. I'm yelling at the television. They can't hear me. They haven't paid nothing for me. Haven't done a thing for my life. And I'm yelling at the television. Come on, boy. What you make that pass for? Let's go. Am I the only one that does that?
No.
I'm going to have to pray for a lion spirit. And there's some of you who have watched your best entertainer and you're excited. Then you come into the place of God, the house of God, and you want to get quiet. You want to get deep. Glory. Hallelujah. Or you want to be embarrassed. You wasn't embarrassed when Beyonce was singing. And you were excited at her concert. And guess what? Beyonce did nothing for you. I'm sorry. I shouldn't. I'm sorry. No, excuse me. My wife's going to get me for the English. Beyonce has not done anything for you. And will not do anything for you. Yet the God of heaven wakes you up every morning, gives you strength every day, blesses your life, places food on your table, got clothes on your back, gives you cars, got gas, takes you back and forth, protects you from hurt, from harm, and from danger, and you can't take 30 seconds to open up your mouth and give him praise. Come on, somebody, take a moment and just give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 We're now going to do what we're assigned to do. Pastor, you and First Lady, I'm going to ask Pastor, you and Pastor, and I'm going to assign you to come. Can somebody bring a chair and bring them to the middle, please? Yes, right there. I'm going to ask you to take the seat, please. Just now. I say this to you as a body, and I say this to them. We are not ordaining you today. God did that. God did that years ago. 15 years ago, God already ordained you. What we do now is we come and we validate what God has already done. We just support and stand behind what God has done. Just like I said, relative to Moses, our assignment is simple: to make sure that your hands are up. No matter what's going on around here, our assignment is to make sure that your hands go up. We're going to do whatever we can as a body. We're committed. Good news, we are committed to making sure that your hands go up. The anointing of God is already on your life. It's without question. The grace of God, the power of God, the presence of God is all over you. Already has been. There is nothing that is questionable about that. You guys sit now so that this church may see that what God has done and what God is doing is nothing short of miraculous. We support you. We submit to you. We honor you. And I'm going to ask the elders if you'll come and stand behind them, please. All of the elders of the church, please come and stand behind them. Do we have any oil? Thank you. All of the elders. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand behind both of them, please. Please stand behind both of them. Officers of the church, all of the officers, would you stand behind the elders, please? All of the officers of the church, please stand behind the elders. All righty. And then I'm going to ask all of the membership, if the membership will come forward, please, all the membership. If you are a member, if you are a committed member, I know we don't have committed, you don't have members. Covenant. We have covenant disciples here. I'm sorry. That's a fancy word for membership. If you have made your commitment and covenant connection to this house, to this ministry, stand behind them. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to ask you to stand real close. Come up as close as you can. The Lord would not allow me to preach a word, but he gave me a word to you. And the word of the Lord is very simple. Make sure their hands don't go down. For the victory that's in the valley. The more I thought about it, Pastor, the more I realized what God was doing. For the victory for you that is in the valley, you've got to make sure that their hands stay up. Did you hear me? For your victory, don't get flustered. Just make sure their hands stay up. Pastor, bless you. Bless you. Pastor, I'm going to ask you to come as well. Covenant brother. All of your members, I need y'all to come close. Come close. I trust that everybody here has done what they were supposed to do hygienically. So come close. And I'm going to ask you both, right hand to left, please clasp hers. No, I'm sorry. Get those two hands, yes, sir. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask both of you to raise your hands all together. I'm going to ask you guys that are standing around them as elders of the church, get under those arms, hold them up. And I just want to wait just a moment in the presence of God. Here's what I'm going to ask. Those of you that are standing behind the elders, please place your right arm on one of the shoulders of those. You place your arm on the shoulder of the person in front of you. Symbolism is simple. Symbolism is that every one of us are a part of an assignment to make sure, excuse me, that these hands never go down. The work of the adversary is to bring about weariness, frustration, anxiety, all of the pressures to cause their hands to go down. But if we are to succeed as a body, it will be predicated upon what we do to make sure that these hands never go down. Is there another mic? Excuse me. Elder, I'm going to ask you to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to pray as a brother, as a connected pastor to this man of God. I'm going to ask you to pray for not just the body, but for them. I'm going to ask you to pray as a covenant connected brother to them. And then I'm going to pray as a spiritual connecting and covering for them. Alrighty? So we're going to pray, but I'm going to anoint. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Is everybody doing what they're supposed to do? Now let me ask you a question. I've been here for a few moments. Was it hard for you? Was it difficult for you back there to do what you're doing right now? Was it difficult for you? But you made it easier for them. If all the talking that I just did in those few moments, if they had to stand here and just hold their arms up by themselves, it would have come down. But because you're standing there to hold them up, it makes it easier for them. Let's pray together.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you and we praise you, O God. God, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for the privilege of witnessing, O God, that which you are doing in this house, Father. Father, we ask you right now, O God, that you would bless them, O God. God, that you would bless them, O God, that you would supply all their needs, Father. God, that you would continue to be the banner over this house, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God, you will supply every need. God, we thank you and we praise you, oh God, for the work that you have assigned their hands, oh God. God, we ask you that you say that you would just bless these people, oh God, that they would continue to hold their hands up, Father. In the name of Jesus. God, we ask you that you open the eyes of our heart, the ears of our lips,
giving our word,
Father, that you just was so gracious to send to me, oh God. God, that we would receive it, oh God, not just in a superficial way, oh God, but we would receive it, oh God, as an assignment from the Most High God. Each and every one of us individually, Father, ask you, God, that you would send to each heart and each mind, oh God, what it is that they are to do, oh God, to affect this change in the house, oh God.
Father, we thank you and we praise you for it. God, we thank you and we praise you, oh God, for the anointing on their lives, oh God. We thank you and we praise you, oh God, because we know, oh God, that it is secure and it is safe, oh God. God, we thank you for better is coming, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for different is coming, oh God. We thank you, oh God, because more is coming, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for the souls that their work will bring forth. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, oh God, for what is transpiring even now supernaturally in the valley, oh God, that we may not be able to see, oh God, but we know it's coming to pass, Father. God, we thank you for it, oh God. Every good word of prophecy that has been spoken over this house, oh God, we ask you to hasten to send the increase. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, glory to your name, oh Father. And oh God, we will not fail to give your name the praise. And Father, we thank you, oh God, for their apostolic anointing, oh God, over my house, oh God. We thank you, Father, for the joy and the privilege of being connected to this body. God, bless them in all things. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Jesus. Heavenly Father, as I stand in your presence, Lord, I pray for my brother and my sister.
Yes, Jesus.
I stand in covenant fellowship with these two servants of the Lord as a covenant brother. Father, I pray for their strength.
Hallelujah.
That God, you will strengthen them and sustain them, God.
Oh, Jesus.
For the long haul. God, give them longevity.
Hallelujah.
Father, we take authority over the adversary.
Yes.
That would attempt to weaken their arms. For ministry to fail and not succeed. And God, I pray that the people would continue to support them in the name of Jesus. But God, as a covenant brother, I stand firm on the word of God. That you will strengthen Pastor Darren and Pastor Patricia. That they will have what it takes to continue in the journey. That they will get the victory. Because you still sit on the throne. And there's nothing that the enemy can do to stop the progress of God, to stop the work of God. God, I pray now, and I call it so by the name of Jesus, that they will succeed, that their purpose will come to pass, that whatever their assignment is, God, that they will see it through to the end. God, I thank you. I praise you. I count it done. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, Father, we agree with the foregone prayer of the man and the woman of God. We thank you for the favor of God on their lives. You've done so many wonderful things already in these 15 years. And we're so grateful for it. God, we thank you for what you're about to do. The things that are coming, my God. We thank you for the overflow that is coming to this house. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we declare it and decree it and speak it into existence even now. There will be no place for people to stand in this place. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. We thank you, Lord, that these will hold up the man of God and the woman of God's arms, and your faithfulness to them will be made manifest in the name of Jesus. God, we believe it by faith and we stand on it now. We count it done in the name of Jesus. And now we place our hands together. We open our mouths and celebrate you that it is done in the name of Jesus the Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Now God bless them from the high crown of their heads even to the soles of their feet. We'll always give you glory, honor, and praise. It is in the matchless, mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Thank you.